The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture is accusing the United Kingdom of outright contempt for the rights of a high-profile prisoner, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Niels Melzer said in November that Assange showed all the symptoms typical for prolonged exposure to psychological torture, and more than 60 doctors signed an open letter supporting his claims. Niels Melzer joins us now from Geneva via Skype. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on the program.
In a little context, Assange was arrested in April at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He'd been living there for nearly 7 years to avoid a rape charge in Sweden, and also really to ultimately avoid extradition to the United States for releasing thousands of classified military reports through WikiLeaks. He is now in a British prison, and that's where I want you to pick this up. When was the last time you saw him, and what condition was he in?
I visited him in Belmarsh prison on the 9th of May. That's about three and a half weeks into his detention there after his arrest on the 11th of April. And I visited him together with two medical experts, a psychiatrist and a forensic expert that are, have been working with examining torture victims for, you know, decades. They can distinguish symptoms that will come from ill treatment from other symptoms, like, you know, they come from a fight or a violent arrest or a sickness, a pre-existing condition.
And what did they tell you about what kind of symptoms they saw in Julian Assange? And what did you see yourself?
Yeah. Well, we had a four-hour slot, two slots of 2 hours. Obviously, I've visited prisons for about 20 years before for the International Committee of the Red Cross in war areas and now as the Special Rapporteur on Torture of the United Nations. So I get a pretty good sense of when I talk to a person whether, you know, there's a genuine issue there. And he reminded me of political prisoners I had visited in countries where they have been subjected to psychological torture. But then we ran medical tests for 3 hours on him, and we followed a specialized medical protocol that's called the Istanbul Protocol, which is designed for the examination of torture victims. And both doctors independently from each other came to the conclusion that he showed all the symptoms that are typical for a person that has been exposed to psychological torture for a prolonged period of time. Now, what we're talking about here is, you know, post-traumatic stress disorders. It's a very elevated level of constant anxiety. It's not the standard anxiety any prisoner would have because he's facing criminal charge or extradition. It really is a debilitating level of anxiety and stress that comes from a profoundly arbitrary environment that is disorienting, destabilizing, and that really deteriorates a person over a period of time.
Right. Now, because he was showing signs of mental and physical deterioration while he was at the embassy, and as you say, you only met with him 3.5 weeks after he was arrested. So where do you think this is coming from? Are we to blame the prison, or are we to blame the situation?
Well, I think that's a very good point you're making, because he had been confined in that embassy because he feared as soon as he steps out of that embassy, he will be extradited to the U.S. And lo and behold, 1 hour after he was arrested by the British, the U.S. actually transmitted their extradition request. So he was right in this fear. And so he was not able to leave that embassy because he feared that his human rights would be seriously violated once he did. So it is clear that he's been exposed to a very limited number of factors that could have caused grave symptoms like that, because symptoms like that don't develop over 3 weeks. They develop over a longer period of time. So I absolutely acknowledge that here we have about four countries, the U.S., the British, the Swedish with their proceedings, and Ecuador that contributed to that situation in the embassy, which produced those symptoms we observed on the 9th of May. Since then, though, however, we told the British authorities that if the pressure and the arbitrariness of environment doesn't come to an end soon, that his state of health is likely to deteriorate rapidly. And that's exactly what happened. As we predicted, about 9 days after my visit, he was transferred to the healthcare department of the prison. He was no longer able to participate in court hearings. He had to be stabilized medically. And his state of health is now in a downward spiral. And that second part is clearly the responsibility of the British authorities.
Well, and some of the doctors say it's so bad that he could die. Now, Sweden has dropped the rape charges against Assange. But in May, the U.S. Department of Justice filed 17 new espionage charges against him. The extradition hearing is set for February, so that's coming up. Do you think he would be better treated or better off if he were in U.S. custody?
No. I think the public opinion, and it's certainly the opinion of the authorities in the U.S., is profoundly biased against him. I think a narrative has been built around him that really doesn't have any realistic foundation, but that is profoundly hostile. I don't think that there's any chance he will even get a fair trial in the U.S.
That's Niels Melzer, a United Nations rapporteur on torture, speaking with us about Julian Assange and his state of health. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.